Hallelujah. Would you turn your, pull out your swords, sharpen them up, and turn them to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all that is within us, bless His holy name. Hallelujah. Proverbs 23. Is everybody there in verse 7? Let's read it together. Well, let's start at verse 6. Praise God. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacy. Now, a miser, did you ever hear of a compromiser? Hallelujah. I love that. It's one who has one eye on evil. That's a compromiser. Hallelujah. In verse 7, or it says, nor desire his delicacies. For as he what? Thinks in his heart, so he is. As he what? Thinks in his heart, so he is. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, for the last week, keeps telling me, as you think, so you are. 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 And I'm telling you, we got to get that in our spirit because the devil's kicking butt on a bunch of believers because he keeps throwing these fiery darts. The believers keep picking them up, eating them, and saying, oh, I am. As you think, so you are. Hello. So we need to change the thinking, don't we? We need to get some revelation from the throne room of God. As a man thinks, so he is. Now you got to remember something. You and I were born in the world and cloned. We are cloned by darkness, hello, to serve darkness. And when Jesus pulled us out, we become a new creation, only by His power and the anointing and through His blood. Is everybody with me? Okay, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. As a man thinks, so he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were what?
Blinded.
Blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in what? In Christ. In Christ. Christ means anointing. Hello. Has everybody got it? The veil is taken away. The scales are taken away. When people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the scales get removed. Has everybody got it? Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Listen, just because you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the scales are not gone yet. It's not until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit when the scales go. Hello. That's why there's many people who get receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and constantly are going back and going back and going back. Is everybody with me? You know, there's times when people come to the services to check out what's going on. And you know what kind of background they come from because they sit there and do nothing. They don't worship the Lord. They really, you know, whatever. And then they come up to get prayed for with their hands in their pocket. And they say, what can you do? Let me see you do something. And then you ask them if they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they keep arguing with you, saying they've been baptized in water since the age of what's and what's. Why? Because the scales are still there. They do not get it. Do you understand? When the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, the scales are removed. And then you're able to see. Because only through the Spirit are you allowed to walk on both sides. The Bible says that you and I have access through one Spirit to the Father. Hello. Anyway, just wanted to throw that in there. Because the veil is taken away with Christ. The word Christ means anointed one and His anointing. What's the anointing? The Holy Spirit. But even to this day when Moses is read, verse 15, a veil lies on their heart. In other words, they're still blinded, aren't they? Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? The veil is taken away. Now he's going to tell you who the Lord is. Now this may blow some of your theology. But don't worry about it. You'll get free. Now the verse 17, everybody read this with me. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Say it again. The Lord is the Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Who's the Spirit? The Holy Spirit, right? Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
Liberty or freedom. In other words, man, you can see glory. But we are with unveiled faces, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise be to God. So understand that the veils are taken away when you and I are baptized in the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, the devil will do anything he can to prevent you from getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. He'll do anything he can. You know why? Because no Holy Ghost, no power. That's where you become manageable. You are managed by the demons. And then you try and manage the demons and you end up losing. That's why people keep going backsliding and going and going and going. They run up to the altar every week. They haven't been, no power. No power. Does everybody understand that? The Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, when that the Holy Spirit come upon you, you will have power, right? And you will be a what? Witness. We're not supposed to be a witness of sin. We're supposed to be a witness of power. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's not about how much you know. It's about who you know. Hello. It's not about falling in love with the written word. It's about falling in love with the person. Then you'll understand the written word. Oh, to God be the glory. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 while we're here. In verse 3. Read it with me. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, in other words, the word gospel means message of truth. If it is veiled, blinded to others, right? It is veiled to those who are what? Perishing or decaying. Whose minds, hello, the God of what? This age has what? Blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So you got to remember again, as a man thinks, so he is. I'm just laying a little foundation before we go. As a man thinks, so he is. So who's trying to cause you to think not the mind of Christ, but the mind of the carnal? Powers of darkness, right? His kingdom. Does everybody got that? Amen? Go to Romans 8. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you, Master. Grant us impartation with revelation that you may be manifested in us all in Jesus' name. Romans 8. Oh, hallelujah. Let's see. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who what? Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, it sure doesn't make it easy to walk according to the Spirit if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You try and walk according to the Word, which is letter now. You'd be trying to walk according to the Word and through all the teachings you go to, but you can't because you got no power. It's like the blind leading the blind. Do you understand that? Is everybody with me? So this traditions of men gets constantly brought down and brought down. Three things that prevent you from getting baptized in the Holy Ghost is what? Traditions of men, unbelief, and unconfessed sin. Sin in people's life. People still touching unclean things. Hallelujah. And verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their what? Minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the what? Things of the Spirit. In other words, your decision, everything that you're doing now is associated with whether it's pleasing God or not. Not pleasing you. Whether it's pleasing God. Everything you do now, according to the rest of your life, if you want to walk in the Spirit of God, first you've got to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've got to be submissive to the Spirit because He leads you to all truth. Amen. He'll guide you. But if you ain't listening, you're going to go on your own and the Holy Spirit's going to stand there and watch you go. And He'll just wait for you to come back. Hello? Hello? See, when you start walking in your will, something happens. You go in captivity. The first captivity you go into is in the mind. You cannot see. You cannot receive. The first captivity you go into. And sometimes you end up in jail or hospital or whatever. You go into captivity. Hello? So remember this. It's very important. What you set your mind on. Even things at your job, whatever it may be. You may be frustrated. You got short paid. You may be frustrated in this. You're angry about this. Let me tell you something. You need to roll that and get in the Spirit. Because you know what? That job is not your supplier. Hello? Your spouse is not your supplier. Your friends are not your supplier. God is your supplier and your provider. He is your everything. There should be no hope in anything else but Him. When there's hope anywhere else, it's an open door. Hello. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds in the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
Oh, who wants to put you to death? Well, wait a minute. Listen, let me tell you something. This book of Romans is written to believers, not unbelievers. It's written to believers. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what?
Life
and peace. Man, one thing we need is peace. If you ain't walking in God's will, there ain't nothing but torment. Now, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, your carnal mind hates the things of God. So you got to get baptized in the Holy Ghost so that the mind of Christ takes over. And the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Because as a man thinks, so he is. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
See, your mind, even though it says renew your mind can't be renewed. The word renewed means to bring remembrance. Your carnal mind is always going to be against God. Is everybody with me? Does everybody understand that? Okay. Now listen, did you ever notice when something happens, the first thing you want to do is go, whoo! And then the Holy Spirit kicks in and goes, boom! Mind of Christ takes over. But the first thing that wants to jump out, shoots out to the flesh, is, ah, you know what, you're fighting. Holy Spirit comes over, whoosh, takes over. And the mind of Christ begins to manifest. And the carnal mind gets put underneath your feet. Does everybody understand
Amen.
That? Oh, hallelujah. Only the Spirit can bring you into the deep things of the Spirit, not knowledge. Hello? Only the Spirit. Only the Spirit can digest the Word of God that's being fed. Only the Spirit. Glory. Now, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Tells you right there. So then those who are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. In other words, unless you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. Oh, that's a pretty strange thing, isn't it? It doesn't mean that there's a difference between the seed and the Spirit. Hello? There's a difference between the seed and the Spirit. That's why many people receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Some of them get baptized right away, the same day. That, see, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are conceived. When you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are born again. Hello. You are birthed. Something happens. That's why, how many times have you seen somebody receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Okay, I got it. Let's go get high. I'm saved. Hello. There's been no change. Do you understand? There's been no change. Now, I'm not saying that somebody in the baptized in the Holy Ghost, he can make that choice also, can't he?
Yeah.
To go the opposite way. God will never interfere with your free will. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to... So the devil keeps us in a carnal state. He never wants us to walk in the fullness of God or what He has for me and you as His predestined plan for us. The Spirit of Christ dwells within us so that you and I can have fellowship in the Spirit. You can't receive the things of the Spirit without the Spirit. That's why the Bible says to some people, it's foolish. The carnal mind says it's foolish. Some people are still trying to figure out some of the teachings. Remember, they had a hard time figuring out Paul's teachings, his letters. Man, they couldn't understand them because not all of them were baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. They weren't filled with the Spirit. And they couldn't get it. Amen? Go to 1 John chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Glorious. First John chapter 3. In verse 4. First John chapter 3 and verse 4. Is everybody there? First John chapter 3 and verse 4. Read it with me. Whoever commits, and I want you to understand something, that word commit means obey. Anyone who obeys sin also obeys or commits what? Lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever abides in Him doesn't sin. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Whoever abides in Him does not practice sin. Is everybody with me? Okay. Whoever sins, he has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the what? Devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. And His what? His seed. Say His seed. His seed remains in Him. And He cannot what? Sin. Because He has been what? Born of God. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody got it? Born. Abides in Him, in His Spirit, born of God, His seed remains. There's a difference between the Spirit and the seed. Does everybody understand that? Listen, the devil blinds us, and the Bible says that he comes and steals the what? Seed. Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to... Now, if he blinds us, what's Satan's greatest weapon? Deception. And what's his power? Fear. His greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. As a man thinks, so he what? So he is. Now, are you getting a little understanding here of the powers of darkness and their purpose is to mess with your mind. Your mind. Has everybody got it? With your thoughts. Because if he can cause you, see, he wants you to serve him through here. In verse 1 through 3, read it with me, please. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So he tells us, he confirms here that the serpent will deceive you. And where? and your mind. Amen? The mind may be corrupted by the serpent. Go to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. You know, people don't realize that there are TV programs and books out there and music out there that keeps individuals cloned to darkness, and they don't even know it. They wear clothes that are called accursed items and so forth, and it keeps them bound to darkness because the devil has access to them. You know, that's why people got to be careful what movies they go to and stuff like that, people they hang around with, whatever it is, because the devil's just trying to keep you cloned according to his character. We were born as one of his expressions. Hello? And we have a tendency, because the carnal mind is not... Hello? The carnal body, the mind, the flesh, which loves to serve darkness. You have to fight that all the time. That's why being in the Spirit puts your flesh on the cross. By being in the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, would you read it with me? Now the serpent was what? More cunning. More cunning. Let me tell you, he can outwit you in a minute. Without the Holy Ghost, he'll outwit you in a minute. The serpent is more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. So here the woman, nor shall you touch it, lest you what? Die. So, you know, she's been walking around and tiptoeing around that tree all this time in the garden, you know. But it was looking beautiful. And every time she got near it, the serpent would throw a fiery dart. Whew. Whew. Look it. Good food. Give you wisdom. Look it. Good food. Give you wisdom. And she'd walk by that and the serpent would throw those darts. Finally, she bit one. One penetrated all the way in. And she went over there and decided to have a discussion with the devil. Hello? Already she was trying to convince the devil, but he had her deceived. Because see, he could already outwit her. That's why the Bible says, depart from what? Evil. In verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Here he calls God a liar. She couldn't see it. And he guarantees her something. He changes her hope and trust away from God and to him. For God knows that in the day you eat of your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing all things. So now he's trying to convince her that God is holding something back from her. But he has something that God doesn't want her to have. Now he's really got her attention, doesn't he? So when the woman saw that the what? Tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, pride of life, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And of course, it wasn't until he ate that all hell broke loose. Once he ate, because see, the serpent knew he couldn't get to him. He couldn't communicate with him. Does everybody understand that? He couldn't get to him, but he could get to her. So if he can get to her, he can get in her and then get to him. Because once you get to the head of the house, everything comes down. Is everybody with me? The serpent lies to Eve and calls God a liar in the garden. Let me tell you something. Satan has his way of working his way up through lies and deceptions and manipulations to get to the place he once ruled. Because you got to remember something. Satan is an angelic being. He was one of the main archangels. He was God's right-hand man. When God removed him from his throne room, he did not take his powers away. Does everybody understand that? He did not take Satan's powers away. So Satan still had angelic powers, didn't he? there was three major archangels. Lucifer, right? Gabriel and Michael. Each one of them had a third of all the angels that they oversaw. They were overseers of a third of all the angels. And when Satan was removed, he took the third of the angels with him. So he had power. Those angels are now principalities and powers of darkness. Okay? And they are overseers of demonic forces and demons and so forth. So when Satan was removed from heaven or from God's throne room, from that position, because at one time he used to be ruler of the earth. Now I'll show you. Go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And verse 12. Is everybody there? Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. Glory. Son of man, take a lamentation up for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. Now you know he's not talking about the man. You were the what? Seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Well, there was no man sealed with perfection and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, braille, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. Why was Lucifer clothed with all of these emeralds? Because he was ruler of the earth. He was dressed with every precious stone. Is everybody with me? Okay. And it says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. He was God's right-hand man. God used to breathe through Lucifer, and music and worship used to go through the universe. The earth was known as the mountain of God in the universe. The Bible says that the earth was inhabited by angels at one time. And that's when Lucifer was here. But remember, he was dressed with all of this because he was ruler, wasn't he? He was praise and worship leader, wasn't he? Hello? Okay. It says, verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. What's the fiery stones? When the earth was created in hell, right? I mean, the earth was created. Of course, we know it is hell now. It says that he walked back and forth in these fire. In other words, he was there when God created. Because you got to remember, the Bible says in verse 1 in Genesis that the Lord created the what? Heavens and the earth. So the angelic and everything was created first. Then the matter was created. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. And obviously God did something about it. What he did is he removed them from office. Is everybody with me? When Lucifer was in rule, he was a praise and worship leader. He was God's right-hand man in worship. He was anointed. And that anointing has not left him. God did not remove the powers that he gave Lucifer. Does everybody understand that? So when he came and he was in the garden, he still had the angelic power. God did not remove that. Go to Isaiah 14. But he did remove him from position, didn't he? Is everybody okay? Isaiah 14. Now, you know, Lucifer is an angel. He's also a spirit, isn't he? Amen. It's amazing how people argue with you saying that the devil can't read your mind. It's amazing to me. Well, you and I are spirit, aren't we? Hello. Did you ever talk to yourself? Amen. How about when you're struggling out there, wanting to make that decision? Who were you talking to? Should I use or should I buy the kid diapers? Should I use or should I pay the rent? Should I buy this brand new car and put myself in debt, or should I pay the rent. Who do you think you were talking to? Hello? Oh, hallelujah. That's a whole nother teaching. And we have them. To God be the glory. That's Mom. She knows where they all are. Isaiah 14. Well, the devil can't read your mind. You're out of your mind. Believe me, I remember those nights and fights. And I would lose because I didn't have no power. Hallelujah. Verse 12, would you read it? Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O what? Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Well, where was he when this was going on? He was on the earth, wasn't he? I will ascend into heaven. Why? Because he was the praise and worship leader of the universe, and the earth was known as the mountain of God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High God. And here's the Lord's response. Yet, you little varmint, you shall be brought down to hell or Sheol, to the lowest pits, to the lowest of the pits, depths of the pit. That's what God was going to do, wasn't he? And he did. And we have a whole teaching about the six stages of the earth, and I encourage you to get it so you get a little bit more understanding. So Lucifer was removed from his position in heaven, his heavenly angelic position. Does everybody understand that? And he was sent and sentenced to the earth in the atmosphere of this earth. Unless God chooses to call him up, he's got to come. Hello? Now, this is just his holding cell. Then he's going to be bound for 1,000 years, and that will be a part of his punishment, and then he's going into the lake of fire forever. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis chapter 1 now. Genesis chapter 1. So I want you to really understand something. You're not fighting some bonehead. He can outwit you in a minute if you're in the flesh. He's been around a long time. In fact, he's been around before man was created. Not that we're to fear him. Hello? Because he who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. And you're going to find out who you are tonight. Glory to God. But we're to respect who he is. Amen? Genesis 1 and verse 26. So God changed things around. He restored the earth. The earth was not created in 6 days. It was restored. And in verse 26 says then, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man. He created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, when Adam and Eve was created, he was created male and female. Does everybody understand that? That's why God had to put him asleep and take a rib out and bring out the female. But Adam was created in God's image and likeness as male and female. Not in gender, but in character. Is everybody with me? Because your God is not only a father, but he's a mother. Hello? He's got the compassion of both. He's got the authority and the compassion of both. Man, when I get upset, man, I sometimes got to go talk to my mommy. Hello? He comforts me just like my mom. And he'll comfort me just like my dad. And he'll guide me. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Adam was created in his image and likeness. It was called Adamic authority. Adam was given all authority, wasn't he? Amen? He said, listen, from now on, you got authority over the sea, you got authority over the air, and you got authority over the earth. I give it to you, Adam. You're created in my image and likeness. Hello? I give it to you. You want to go surfing on some whales? Just call them up. Go to Genesis 2 and 15. Genesis 2 and 15. Then the Lord took the man, Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And Adam was like, okay, cool. I'll obey it and do it. And the Lord said to him, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. I'm telling you, that's authority and dominion. Adam was an extension of God Almighty. He said, listen, I'm giving you everything right now. Here, I'm going to watch Adam, watch me create this. Here, right out of the ground. Adam saw all creation. Do you understand it? He says, and then the Lord, look at, he put Adam in the garden where they would be separated. God set a whole house up for him called the Garden of Eden. And then he said, Adam, I'm going to create, I don't want you to be alone. So, out of the dust, he created the animals. And then he said, okay, Adam, I want you to acknowledge and I want you to start putting your authority in action. You have dominion over the air, the sea, and the land. Name them. Go ahead, name that fishy. Name that bird. Yeah, that one. Name that bird. Name that fish. Name that thing that's creeping there. Amen? Adam was positioned with authority. In verse 21. Then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept and took out his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to him. And Adam said, this is now the what? Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. In other words, she's a man with a womb. Because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. Now, the serpent knew that, didn't he? So he knew if he could get the Eve, he can get the Adam. Hello? Adam's position. Therefore, and then they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed because they were clothed with the glory of God. You got to remember something. Adam and Eve were created for eternal beings. They did not have blood. They were made eternally. They had glorified bodies. Can you imagine them tripping and bleeding to death? Uh-oh, you cut yourself on that. Quick. No. They were glorified bodies. They were made eternal. Everything was totally different. Hello? There was no death in the earth. Go to Psalm 8. The only death there was in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? That was the only place there was death. Because the Lord said, if you eat of it, you're going to die. Hallelujah. Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And in verse 4. Psalm 8 and verse 4. Let's see. Psalm 8, 4 through 9. Okay, would you read 4 through 9 with me? What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Now, who is he talking about? Man. Adam was crowned with glory. That crown that was on him was a representation of authority. Look at verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. He crowned Adam with his glory and authority. Is everybody with me? A crown was a representation. It was symbolic as glory and authority. Adam was crowned with this, with dominion and authority. If you go back and you look and read about the kings and whatever, they were symbolized persons. That's king. The crown was a representation of like a person's high status or authority. It marked them in their office. Amen? So Adam was crowned with God's glory, representing dominion and authority. Go to Revelation 19. Adam was a king. Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Now Adam had power over the air, over the skies. Isn't that wild? In Revelation 19, in verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called what? Faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many what? Crowns. Why? Because he's an authority over everything. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I want you to understand something. He is King of Kings. It says that he was crowned, right? It said that he would rule with a rod of iron. That's called a scepter. It's called a scepter. In fact, think about it. When the Lord showed up to Moses, what did he have? He gave him a what? Staff, didn't he? That was a scepter, wasn't it? Glory. So the Lord was crowned. He had many crowns, didn't he? Representing his kingship. And he had a rod in his hand representing the authority or the scepter. Amen? Amen? Now, like I just shared that about Moses, he had a scepter, didn't he? Yeah. Amen? It's official staff of ruler or office of some sort. They mocked Jesus, didn't they, when they put crowns on him? In fact, they put a reed in his hand trying to say that they mocked him as a king. Amen? Now, David also had a scepter known as the staff. He was a shepherd, wasn't he? But think about what Moses did. Remember when the Lord appeared to Moses and so forth, and he told him, go ahead and go and whatever, and he said, grab that staff, and what happened? Remember he threw the staff down and turned into a serpent, and he picked it up and so forth. That was a scepter. You know, before you go to a king, before you can approach a king, he stretches out his scepter to let you know you can approach, because if you approach him without the extension of his scepter, you died. And you know, think about when the Jews came out of Egypt, and then they came to the sea, and they were like, "Oh, what do we do now?" And the Lord said, "Okay, stretch that scepter over that thing, move that staff over it." Amen. And when he did, what happened? The water split, didn't it? Why? Because Moses was a symbolic of him who was to come. Remember, God came down and said, "Listen, I heard the cries of my people, Moses, and I'm sending you." Something changed from that point on. God got involved. God got involved from Moses on. He said, okay, we're going to change this. I heard the cries of my people. Why? Because Israel was disobedient, and they went into what? Captivity for 400 years, didn't they? And the Lord said, okay, I heard your cries. All right, now, I'm coming. But what did he do? He came down and sent a man. A man who stuttered. Hello? Couldn't speak real good. But he didn't come with great speech. He came with the power of the Holy Ghost, didn't he? Hallelujah. He came with the scepter, and he was crowned by God Almighty. He was sent, sealed, to go forth. Now, go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation 1, verse 5. Oh, hallelujah. The name of this teaching is Crown of Glory. Crown of Glory. Remember, the Lord said that you've been justified, sanctified, and glorified. Thank you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Would you read it with me? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, wait a minute. It says that he made us kings. Well, wait a minute. Let's go back now. A king is supposed to have dominion over all things, isn't he? That's why he's known as King of Kings. We're the kings. It's not about rulers of the earth. You're the rulers of the earth. King of Kings. You're the kings. It just says it right here. He made us kings. Everybody got it? But what? The devil says, as a man thinks. The word says, as a man thinks, so he is. Do you think the devil wants to know who you are? Well, you're about to tonight. We are the kings. The scepter is the sword of the Spirit. Hello? The scepter is the sword of the Spirit. Everybody got it? Go to Isaiah 9. And you do have a crown. Isaiah chapter 9. So when you see King of Kings, you know that it's your king and you're the kings. See? Oh, hallelujah. When Adam fell, he turned over his crown to Satan. Then Satan still had his angelic power, but now he had the Adamic power. You understand that? When Adam fell, he turned his office over. Why? Because he took his crown. Is everybody with me? So he not only had his angelic power, but he had his Adamic power. That's why he was able to rule. In Isaiah 9, verse 6. Would you read verse 6 with me? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. In other words, his kingdom upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forth that even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will what? Perform this. He will perform it. In other words, it's saying there will be a king who's going to have a kingdom. If you think about something, the word kingdom means someone with authority will have dominion. Kingdom. Dumb is dominion. Is everybody with me? In other words, somebody will be placed in position that will have authority. That's why when Jesus came into the earth, he said, "Behold, the kingdom of God." But he didn't say it until he went somewhere. He never expressed, "Behold, the kingdom of God," until he went somewhere. So we see that Jesus was, there was prophecy that a child will come and set up a government or a kingdom. Amen? In other words, things that were lost were going to be restored. Things that were lost to darkness were going to be restored. Go to Lamentations 5. It's right after Jeremiah. In verse 15, Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 15. Would you read it with me? The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes have grown dim. And because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about on it. Now look at, go to verse 16. The crown has fallen from our what? Head, meaning what? Authority has been, this is about Adam. The authority has been taken from him. The crown of authority has been taken from him. Is everybody with me? Why? Because the crown represents what? Authority, doesn't it? Authority. Don't you have a Bible? Oh, okay. The crown represents what? Authority and position, doesn't it? It represents a position that you and I have. And Adam had that position, and it had been taken. Satan picked up Adam's authority and angelic authority. Go to Romans 5. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 5. Glory, glory, glory. Romans chapter 5. In verse 12. So remember, everything changed once Adam gave up his Adamic authority, didn't it? Remember, even though Satan was still in the garden, right, with his angelic authority, right, and power, Adam's was greater. Adam's was greater. God gave him dominion over all darkness and everything. It was greater. And then when he gave it up, that's why, you know, he's known as the Prince of Power Error. So when you bite an apple now, it turns brown, doesn't it? Didn't then. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For unto the law was sin, the world, but sin is not imputed where there is what? No law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to who? Moses. Why? Because now God got involved, didn't he? Even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Oh, hallelujah. So death reigned from Adam to Moses. God stepped in. Moses was a prototype also of Christ who was to come. Amen. With the staff and so forth, because Moses was sent out as a what? Redeemer, one to rescue his people from Egypt. And Egypt represents now the world. In other words, rule under darkness. In fact, go to Jude 9. So when Moses died, the Lord buried Moses. Okay? No man buried Moses. Moses went up to the mountain, and the Lord took him and buried him. Moses went home, and his body went in to the ground. The Lord buried Moses. Then the Lord sent Michael, the archangel, to get Moses' body. Because remember, death wasn't reigning anymore. Not in the area where you and I know it, but he wasn't allowing Moses' body. He stopped it. He got involved. And he came to get Moses' body. And in verse 9 it says, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, listen, here's Archangel. Now, here's Michael, right? Archangel Michael contending with Lucifer or Satan. Now, they both had angelic powers, didn't they? But Lucifer or Satan had the Adamic power. He could not overtake him. He could not rebuke him. So what did he say? The Lord rebuke you. That's why he couldn't say, I rebuke you. Does everybody understand that? He still had to respect his authority, didn't he? But he came to get the body of Moses and bring it home. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So Satan carried that Adamic crown. The animals changed. The air changed. Death reigned. Amen? I mean, everything changed because he gave up his crown. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are the one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. In other words, what you obey, you become a slave to. Adam obeyed his wife. His wife obeyed the serpent. They both became a slave to the serpent, didn't they? Amen? They became Satan's servants and didn't even know it, did they? They became slaves to that. Does everybody understand that? What you obey is what you become a slave to. The Word tells us whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Right? That's in John 8. What you obey is what you become a slave to. Go to Matthew 4. Starting at verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Does everybody see that? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, Satan was trying to get him to obey, wasn't he? Why didn't he become his slave? Does everybody understand that? Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now this is powerful. And the Lord says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What did he do? He took the words that God said and tempted God with those, his own words. You understand that? So what was he standing there? He said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. In other words, he was trying to tell him, I'm God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Why? Because he took his words and tried to tempt him, didn't he? Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. Now remember, who you obey is what? You become a slave to who you serve. Now listen, this is what, remember the Lord said, away with you, Satan. Look what happens. Then the devil what? He obeyed, didn't he? He became his slave. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Man, I'm telling you what. You know what he just did? He turned his crown over to Jesus. He turned his crown over. That's why Jesus had to go into the wilderness to get the Adamic crown back. Do you understand that? Why? The same way that Eve was tempted, God went into the wilderness to be tempted the same way. The same way that the crown was taken from Adam is the same way that Jesus took the crown back from Satan. Do you understand that? See, that was done in the wilderness. When he came out of the wilderness, what did he say? Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because he's the king with dominion. And everything was restored back in the wilderness. Does everybody understand that? Jesus passed the test, didn't he? Yeah. Got the crown back. Glory. That's why the word says in John 10, I can't go to all of them because I'm not going to have enough time. Well, man. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Oh, we got to go there. No. Let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10. Let's go to Luke 10. Glory. This is powerful. You know what? People are still waiting. You ain't got to wait. It's already done. When Jesus said, it's finished, it was finished. You are kings. The whole thing is as a man think, so he is. Luke 10 and 17. Somewhere around there. Oh, yes. Luke 10, 17. Watch. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, oh, wait. Luke 10, what? 17, yeah. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you what? Authority to trample on the serpents and scorpions and over all the power, all the power, all the power, all the power of the enemy. All the power. Why? Because he just kicked the butt in the wilderness and took back the Adamic crown. And I give you what? All the power of over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by means hurt you. Well, why are we so goofy? It's always all the devil did this. Man, you got power over that. You've been recrowned with that. That's why Jesus went to the cross to give it to you. He couldn't transfer it until he went to the cross. But in the meantime, he had it. But those guys that were with him and the disciples, because they were in his presence, he could express his authority and power now. Oh, hallelujah. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Yes. You know, go to John 15. Your life better change tonight. Oh, hallelujah. John 16. I'm sorry. John 16. Let's go there. John 16. John 16 and verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because of what? The ruler of this world is not going to be judged, is judged. Because he did. He judged them in the wilderness, didn't he? And he found him guilty and took back the crown of glory. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4. Let me tell you something. When you learn your position, you can change your condition.
Amen.
When you learn your position, you can change your condition. Do you understand now that you have power over the air, the sea, and the land? But as a man thinketh, so he is. That's why Jesus said you can take a little seed of faith and move a mountain. He wasn't kidding. They didn't get it. And it's difficult for us to get it, but we need to. In Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 7 it says, but each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he what? Descended. What does it mean? But that he also what? First descended into the lower parts of the earth. And what did he do? He could not, let me tell you something. He couldn't go to hell unless he had already won in the wilderness. He couldn't go there unless he won in the wilderness. Why? Because Satan has still been ruler of the world. Do you understand that? He couldn't go there. He had to win in the wilderness. That's what gave him the right to go there. Now he made the exchange on the cross for me and you, and he went there in spirit, but he already had the keys. Jesus owns hell. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I want you, here it is. Okay. Who you obey, you become a slave to. Now remember, the devil became a slave to the Lord, didn't he? In the wilderness. Remember when Jesus went to Pilate and Pilate said, you know, don't you understand? Why aren't you saying something? I have the power to let you go. And Jesus said, no power has been given to you but that which is from my Father. Do you understand that Satan was a slave to Jesus? Satan had to obey killing Jesus. Do you understand that? He had to obey. He said, you're my slave, kill me. Do you understand that? He had to obey. Satan was a puppet for the Lord now. He was a puppet for the Lord. That's why demons were, they freaked when I saw him. Why? Because Satan was no longer ruler of them. Jesus was. Son of God, Son of Man. No, don't cast us out. Our time's not. Come on, they freaked. The whole kingdom of darkness freaked when Jesus left the wilderness. They didn't know yet, but then they did. Jesus did not have to go to hell yet. He had to win in the wilderness to take the Adamic authority. Amen? They freaked. They saw the crown of glory on him. That's why he went around saying, "Behold the kingdom of God. Behold the kingdom of God. Behold the kingdom of God. King with dominion." Oh, hallelujah. And where does he sit now? At the right hand of the Father, doesn't he? Amen? See, he actually used Satan to crucify him. That's why the word says if Satan would have known. Hello? If you'd have known, come on, Satan, do it. Let your kingdom. Why do you think when they brought out, come on, everybody knew, why do you think that when they brought out Barnabas? Was that it? Barnabas? Barabbas. Yeah, Barnabas was a disciple. Barabbas. When they brought out Barabbas, and even Pilate said, "Man, I don't find any fault with this dude. What are you guys doing?" Jesus was using Satan as a puppet. Kill me. Because once you kill me, I got the Adamic power. I'm coming to take you out now. Come on, you've got to kill me so I can restore and give everything so I can raise up my kings. Do you understand? You're a part of a kingdom. That's why when you're in the kingdom of God, you're a king.
Amen.
And the crown of glory is on you. You have dominion over everything. But as a man thinketh, so he is. Go to Revelation 1. I'm going to try and get this in. You mind staying a couple more minutes? Revelation 1, I think. Revelation 1, yeah, Revelation 1. Praise God. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.'" Amen. "And I have the" what? "Keys of" Hades and of what? Death. Oh, hallelujah. That's how he was able to get in there, wasn't he? He beat him already in the wilderness. Go to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. "For the" what? "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are" what? "Perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is" the what? "Power of God." You understand that? See, now we can understand the cross. The purpose of the cross was to exchange. To give it to us. To give it to us. Jesus already beat him in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says that we're to be the head, not the what? Tail. Hallelujah. Now, check this out. Listen, even when Joshua, do you remember what Joshua did? Joshua, what did he do? He made the sun stand still, didn't he? Think about that. He prayed that the sun wouldn't move, right? Stay still. For a sign. And the Lord gave it to him, didn't he? Think about that. Whoa. That was that which was to come. Remember the Old Testament, a shadow of things to what? Come. Angels love... That's why the Bible tells us about angels wanting to look into this. Whoa. What happened? Look at what's... Powerful. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. "But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. From since by man came death, and by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one to his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." Then comes the what? End. When he delivers the what? Kingdom of God to the what? Father. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all the enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is what? Death. So you got to remember something. It's under our feet. It's under our feet. Do you understand that? When the Lord says, anyone who comes to me, I give them the right to become children of God. Amen. And Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Oh, a couple more scriptures and we're done, so just hang in there. Galatians chapter 4. And verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Remember when the Lord said, God, the Father has given me all things, and I've given the Holy Spirit all things, and all things, the Holy Spirit has given you all things? He wasn't kidding. Remember when he said, I come to bring you life and life more abundantly? He wasn't kidding. But it is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, where you cry out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer what? Slave, but a what? Son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So you and I are what? Heirs, aren't we? We are heirs. We are no longer slaves. All things have been given unto us. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we are joint heirs of Christ, aren't we? Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3 through 6. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. And in what? And blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Why? Because Daddy sits at the right hand of the Father. You know where you sit? Right with Him. Listen, a king has three things, doesn't he? He's got a crown, a scepter, and a seat. And so do you. And so do you. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, having predestined us to the adoption of the sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Go to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He may show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now I want to close at Revelation 3. Did you get those?
Yes. Ephesians
1, 3 through 6. Hallelujah. It was Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, and Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. And we will close at Revelation 3, 7 through 13. Do you understand who you are?
Hallelujah.
We have a teaching called Priests Before Warriors, because you got to fulfill your first position, which is priesthood. David was anointed king, but God did not place him in kingship until he fulfilled his position as priest. Then He placed him as king. Amen? And Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says He who is holy, He who is true, and He who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts, and He who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it for you. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet. Whose feet? Your feet. And to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my commandment to preserve or persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You're kings. That's when the word says, he is King of Kings, he's the King, and you're the kings. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word, Lord. Lord, grant us that revelation and impartation tonight, Lord. We cover the seed that's been imparted in us with the blood of the Lamb. Lord, teach us to walk in our kingship that we may take dominion. And no more garbage from the devil, Lord. Because he no longer has rule over us, but we have rule over him. We have rule over darkness and all darkness. Father, I thank you that we are the light, and the light exposes darkness. And as you were manifested to expose the devil and to destroy him, so you succeeded and gave all power and dominion to us. Lord, help us to walk this, that our heart and mind will be according to the kingdom of God and walk as kings for your glory and your honor and the price you paid. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.